سورة ألم نشرح لك صدرك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب.
In سورة انشراح ألم, which is the question, ألم نشرح. The sharh is like to open or expand. Laka, for you, sadrak, your chest. Wa wada'na, wada'na is to take and remove from, anka, from you, wizrak, your burden. Alladhi, now speaking about the burden, the one, anqadha, which is weighed down upon, dhahrak, your back, afa'na, and we raised, laka, for you, dhikrak, your remembrance, your fame. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this message is the lofty position of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's three blessings that Allah azza wa jalla is speaking about here. Number one is the sharh al-sadr, which is the expansion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest, so that he would accept the truth. And the ulama mentioned that that could either be in two ways, that he accepted the truth, or physically, when Jibreel alayhi salam came to him when he was young, and he opened his chest. He opened his chest and took out his heart and cleaned it. This is an authentic hadith. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدَرَكَ, that we expanded your chest so that you would accept the truth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like we said about the istifham, the fact that it's coming in as a question, a question mark, it's calling the person to contemplate and to think and to interact with these verses. Alam, didn't we? Alam nashrah laka sadra wa wada'na anka wizrak. The second blessing in verse number 2 is that they took the heavy burden off his back, and that burden, and even when he would go up to Ghari Hira and he didn't know what to do, and all the killing and all the evil that was happening in his society, that was the burden that the Prophet ﷺ had. وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ, and that burden was taken off when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him the guidance of Islam. وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ. And in verse 4, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, and we raised you in fame, or raised your remembrance. And so there's no khatib, no musalli that doesn't mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coupled with the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning they say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Or the muadhin says the adhan and he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and then he says, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And this was the raising of fame. Has anybody ever received an email about a CNN poll who was the most famous man, and then you quickly rush to CNN in order to vote for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he has like 10 trillion votes from all the Muslims around the world? The Prophet ﷺ, and you'll see on those votes, no one will ever come close. And you don't even have to go and vote. It'll still be there. There will be always the people who know that the Prophet ﷺ status above everybody else is affirmed. And the famous book that the person wrote, that even the non-Muslims will affirm it. Even in Christianity, someone who may have come close could be Isa ﷺ. But in fact, in Christianity, Christians aren't necessarily influenced by Isa alayhi salam as much as a Muslim is influenced by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam. I remember one of the ulama, he went to, I guess, the Vatican, and he was speaking with the priest there, and he said to them, do you have a single word that you know for sure that Jesus said alayhi salam? And they said, they don't actually know that the exact language of Isa alayhi salam that they can say for sure that he said this word. They're not sure. And so he went back to them, he said, do you have any word that you know for sure exactly that the Prophet ﷺ said it in that way and in that language? And then he went on to tell them about the science of tajweed. That not only are these the exact words that the Prophet ﷺ, the intonation and the lengthening of the vowels is exactly the way the Prophet ﷺ said it. So if someone came and they said, ضَالًا فَهَدَى, like that. If they said, ضَالًا فَهَدَى, they would immediately get the stick on their arm, and they say, you read that wrong. Why did they read it wrong? This is not the way the Prophet ﷺ read it. There's a med there. So the science even goes from there. And so the Prophet ﷺ is influenced the Muslims in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ all throughout their lives, unlike any other human being that has come. In verse 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about the hardships the Muslims are befalling. And like we said, about the profile of that person that we mentioned about Abd al-Shams. And he could be, we didn't mention, did he become Muslim or not? Brother Wali? Did we mention that he became Muslim or not? We did? He became Muslim? Okay. And his name was changed to what? Abdullah. We didn't mention it, right? Okay. You think he would have become Muslim by now, right? We're on like the 11th surah reveal. So, if he came, the Muslims were indeed in their hardship. If he had become Muslim, what would have happened to him? He may have been kicked out of his home, correct? His father may have kicked him out. His wife might have even been divorced from him. He could have, all his wealth, been stripped away from him. And so now he's suffering the hardship of this belief in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So the verses come in here, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that with every hardship comes ease. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that with every hardship, indeed with every hardship, comes ease. And these verses, and that's why I mentioned when sad times befall a person, these are the surahs to come back to. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that there will be hard times. There has to be. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is affirming it here. مَعَ الْعُسْرِ, with the hard times comes ease. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying فَإِنَّ بَعْدَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. It's not after hard times comes ease. The word here is مَعَ, which means with. To show you how close the ease comes is that it comes with the hardship. That's how quickly it will easiness comes. And so in fact the Prophet ﷺ didn't die, even though he was rejected in the tortures that were happening in Mecca. He did not die except that in that Arabian Peninsula had become Muslim. And the people had entered into Islam afwajan, which happened about 2 decades from the revelation of this. But he hadn't died until this had come to pass. فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. This is a little technical, what I'm going to explain here. But try to keep along. It comes in the Arabic. In verse 5 and verse 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll notice that there's an al on the usr, and there's no al on the yusr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ, and then it says yusra. And then in the verse after that, verse 6, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ, and then again yusra. That al, this is something you can use in your Arabic class, is ta'rif, right? If you say, give me the kitab, right? You would say, which, a kitab meaning book, you would say, which book? And then you say, al-kitab. Then you're like, oh, that huge one in the display, right? The mother of all books, right? And so, al-kitab. So when you say al, you're talking about a specific book. And then if you keep saying it, al-kitab, 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 it's all the same book. That word is always referring to the same thing. If you kept saying, أعطني كتاب, 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 it would mean, give me a book, and a book, and another book, and another book. Because it doesn't have the al. It's called ta'rif and nakira. Right? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in verse 5, al-usr, and in verse 6, al-usr, it's the same hardship. So, maybe your brother got rejected and he didn't get married or something like that. That's the usr. It's one usr. But the yusr, the ease, is 2 different ones. It's not the same one. لَنْ يَغْلِبْ عُسْرٌ يُسْرَيْنِ, meaning that no hardship will overcome 2 times of ease. And they're 2 different times. And they're 2 types of ease that befalls the people. Did you understand that? I'm going to give you an example of that. That it could carry the meaning of Yusuf. That the ease could either be in the dunya, that a hardship comes and there's ease in the dunya when the person, you know, they're patient and the time of ease comes. And then because of their patience in the hereafter, they will reach another ease, another Yusuf. So that hardship won't overcome two times of ease in this dunya and in the hereafter. Or it could mean that when a hardship befalls a person, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ when the hardship befalls a person, the ease could either comes immediately. And then later on, it also comes in different times. So they'll be absolved of that hardship now, and then later on in their life, there'll also be, you know, other ease to come. So they say عَاجِل and عَاجِل in the soon and in the later. And it's mentioned that that these verses were revealed in the backdrop of the torture and the humiliation, the disgrace, the swears, and all that hardship that the Muslims were befalling or had befall upon them. This was happening to them. And the type of humiliation wasn't like anything that we've experienced before. I think a lot of Muslims were contemplating or just felt a little bit of that backlash, right? That famous word, the backlash. And that's just a little glimpse. This was an entire society that was doing backlash on the Muslims. Anybody that believed in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah had this backlash. And it wasn't simply, you know, getting their tires popped or something like that. It was serious. Very serious. So much so, they would go to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they would say, Ala tad'u lana, won't you make dua to Allah to save us from these people? Won't you ask Allah to assist us and grant us victory over these people? And the Prophet ﷺ replied that there was, and he got actually angry at this. He said that there was people who came before who were ripped from, their skin was ripped from their flesh, their skin was ripped from the meat underneath with combs of steel in their torture. He said, but that would not push them to the point where they would recant their faith. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ But you are very hasty. And some of these companions, if I mentioned their names, you would know them. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And they were in this hardship, but it was still, it was required of them to be patient. So anything that happens to us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be patient in those tests to come. In verse 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ that if you come to the end, فَانْصَبْ So get up and continue after that. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ If you've completed your occupation, devote yourself again to Allah's worship. And this has different connotations. Basically, when a person is working very hard for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they've done their work, that they shouldn't end at that, they should continue going. It's not that, oh, I've done my duty, I was MSA president for a good 3 years, now's the end, right? So if you're ever doing like a final ceremony or something, you mention this verse to those people. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ You finished your job, فَانْصَبْ Stand up and continue working. Till the end of your life. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ And a person who's working in da'wah, they should also not forget their ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they may have been giving lectures and workshops and they're going from public school classroom here and there and there. They've completed their duty. Now they get up in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ And to your Lord. فَرْغَبْ And this is in thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all these blessings that a person should have their intentions and hopes in the direction of Allah azza wa jalla.